we have slichas coming around the bend, and then a week later we have tekiya shofar. So we want to talk about preparing for Rosh Hashanah, and we want to talk about the mitzvah of shofar. And this essay, which we're about to study, will hopefully give us a new perspective on the mitzvah of shofar. Chazal tell us, Yofesha achas b'tshuva ma'isim tov b'olam hazeh mikol chai olam haba. So we have a significance here in this world. Forget about the next world right now. We're not oriented towards the next world. We want to put all our emphasis on this world. And we thank Hashem, Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu, where we have the opportunity to hear the shofar and fulfill this great mitzvah. And we hope that as we enter into this new year, we can fulfill our greatest dream. Achash alti meis Hashem osa avakei shifti meis Hashem kol yimei chayai lachzos benom Hashem levaker bechalo. We hope and we pray that we'll have a year of health, and with our health we'll be able to dedicate our energies to the study of Torah, to the doing of mitzvahs of chesed, of benom lemako, benom lechavero. That's what we're hoping for, and that's what we're praying for. We're asking for chesed Hashem, for the kindness of God. What we want to do this morning is focus on the mitzvah, the great mitzvah of shofar and Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, Amar Rabbi Avo, Loma tokim b'shofar shal ayil. Of all the animals, that we take a ram's horn, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiku lefanai b'shofar shal ayil, kidei she'ezker lachem hakedus Yitzhak shal Avram. We ask Hashem to remember the great episode, the great Nisayon of Avram Avinu at the Akedah, Umala ani Aleichem, when we bring this memory device in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that God has to be reminded, but we have to be reminded, and this is going to be our great schus. And Rabbi Avos says, Mala ani Aleichem kiilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai. It's as if we have experienced and undergone this great trial and tribulation of the Akedah. So we're going to ask the following two questions. Question number one, if we want to remind Hashem or remind ourselves of the Akedah, why should we remember the Ayil? Keep in mind that the Ayil comes after the Akedah. The Akedah is described by Hashem when Avram Avinu built the Mizbeach and he gathered the trees together, he cut down wood, he took a fire, and he burnt an esh on the Mizbeach. The Pasuk describes, Vayivan Sham Avram as a Mizbeach, Vayaroch as a Eitzim, Vayakodes Yitzhak Beno. There are so many different actions that culminate in the Akedah, and none of them are actually duplicated. We don't remind Hashem of any of these actions. You know, maybe it would be a good idea that on Rosh Hashanah we should bring trees into the Beis HaMedrash. You know, let's bring logs. Maybe that'll remind Hashem of the Akedah. Maybe we should bring a fire into the Beis HaMedrash. Again, we'll have to be careful with a fire. But instead, what do we remind Hashem of? The Ayil, of the ram's horn that was brought by Avram Avinu after the Malach tells him, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar. This is in the aftermath of the Akedah. The great Nisayon was basically over.
But that was a big point. That God provided for him an idol. God brought the idol.
But again, we want Hashem to consider it as if we went through the Akedah ourselves. You know, the schus of the Akedah is ours. So what are we doing? We're reminding of Hashem that God gave and provided Avraham Avinu with an idol. That's a little bit odd. That doesn't give us any credit, any brownie points on Rosh Hashanah. If we want to get a schus on Rosh Hashanah, so what does it mean that God provided an ayil for Avraham?
He rewarded Abraham for being prepared to.
Right, but if we want to, so to speak, go through this trial ourselves, as if to say that we, right, because look at the language of Rabbi Avot. Do you remember this, Doc? Malani Alechem Kilu Akadetem Atzmechem Lefana. So in order to reach that level, it would be a little bit odd that we remind ourselves that Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah, he brings an ayil. The ayil itself doesn't seem to be any schus for us. You know, what? Yeah, what do you say?
Well, wasn't the ayil in place of Yitzchak? So So Yitzhak was supposed to be sacrificed, so the owl is in place, so it still does remind you.
Right, no, I'm not saying it doesn't remind you, but of all the different possible reminders, it would seem we would want to go back to the Akedah itself.
So words,
let me sort of duplicate the Akedah. Instead, there was a replacement, there was a fallback position. Instead of bringing Yitzhak on the Mizbeach, the owl is brought on the Mizbeach. That seems to be anticlimactic, if you know what I mean. A second question that he asks is, why is it that we blow the shofar? In other words, if you want to bring the isle or the shofar of the isle, that's fine. But what's inherent in the blowing of the isle, the blowing of the shofar of the isle? Ikar hakavana b'shofar shel isle is lahazkir es hakedah. So why does God command us shenashmia kol tkiya shel shofar shel isle? What's the kol tkiya? What's inherent in that sound and the blast of the tkiya? Now we have a third question. The third question is based on the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that God on Rosh Hashanah is sitting on what's called the Kisei Adin. He is judging with harsh judgment. However, we blow the shofar, and as a result of the sounds of the shofar, God transfers his place from the Kisei Adin to what? To the Kisei Rachamim. He sits on the Kisei Rachamim. And the Medrash quotes a pasuk, Allah Elokim Bitruah. The word Elokim is indicative of God's Midas Hadin, that strict justice. And God is Ola, he sort of moves from Elokim. And then the end of the pasuk says, what does it say? And it says, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei Bekol Shofar. So the beginning of the pasuk identifies God as the God of Elohim, and the end of the pasuk identifies him as Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the what?
Rachamim.
The media of Rachamim. So when God hears the trua, so he goes from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Rachamim. So we see that there's a tremendous power inherent in the shofar, because again we're talking about the trua of the shofar and the kol shofar. So we would like to understand, what is this amazing, magical power that's inherent in the Kol Shofar, that God moves from the Kisei Hadin and He takes His place in the Kisei Rachamim to have compassion on Israel. Now, in order to understand this whole parsha of the isle and the Shofar Shel isle and the Tkiah of the Shofar, we can begin with a Pasuk in Tilling. The Pasuk in Tilim says, Min ha-meitzar karasi ka. Meitzar means from straits, from a very narrow place. I called out to Almighty God. Now the Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, quoting the Ran Rabbeinu Nisim, he says the following, that from this Pasuk, we have a symbolic halachic message. There are two parts to the shofar. One part of the shofar is called the tzad hakatzar, which means the very narrow part of the shofar. The other end of the shofar is called the tzad harachav, that's the wider part of the shofar. Now again, I'm not sure exactly what kind of blast or sound you would produce if you were to blow from the wider side of the shofar. I don't know, but let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that if you blow from the wider side of the shofar, you can produce some sort of a kol. And the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo paskins, that if you blow from the wider side of the shofar, lo yotza, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. And he bases himself on the Ran, who in turn bases himself on the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi quotes the pasuk min ha-meitzar karasika, and that karasika, calling out to God, is symbolic of the shofar, and we have to call out to God min ha-meitzar, from the more narrow part, and therefore you have to blow the shofar, which is a kriya, it's a calling out to God from the narrow part of the shofar. If we do it the other way around, if we reverse it and we blow from the tzad harachav, the widest side of the shofar, we do not fulfill our mitzvah. And based on this Beit Yosef, there was a great contemporary of the Beit Yosef who lived at the same exact time in the city of Tzfat. Who was that? The Arizal, right? The Arizal was a contemporary. In fact, the Beit Yosef used to attend the shiurim of the Arizal, but very often he would fall asleep. So the Arizal made a comment, apparently your neshama doesn't need my shiurim. When I have a Talmud who falls asleep, I actually try to wake him up. But that's not what happened in the case of the Arizal. So the Arizal says, on this Beit Yosef, that we should recite this pasuk before we blow the shofar. We should declare Min HaMeitzar Karasi Ka. And it's really interesting because if you take a look in our Machzorim, you will see that that pasuk appears as part of a series of verses that we recite before we blow the shofar. And this verse in particular has a very singular function or significance, because this pasuk is the source, according to the Arizal, based on the Beit Yosef and the Ran and the Yerushalmi, for the halacha that you can only blow the shofar and fulfill your mitzvah if you blow it from the narrow side of the shofar. But if you turn the shofar the other way around and you blow and somehow produce a blast from the wider side of the shofar, that's not the mitzvah. It's got to be min ha-meitzar. Meitzar means the straits, the narrow part. Karasi ka, I called out to Hashem. And the Arizal goes a little bit further, because it says in the pasuk, at the end of this pasuk, it starts with min ha-meitzar karasi ya, it says anani b'merchav ya. Now notice that the first part of the pasuk is talking about calling out to Hashem. The second part of the pasuk is talking about God's response. God's response, in contrast to our calling out to Hashem, comes b'merchav. It comes from the wider side, so to speak. So in a symbolic way, we cry out to Hashem from the narrow part of the shofar, that's the part we blow from, and God responds from the wider part of the shofar, so to speak. But notice something else about this verse. How many times does the name of God appear in this verse? Twice. At the beginning it says, Min HaMeitzar Karasi, I call out to whom? Yud-Kei, that's the Almighty. And then, when it says that God responds, Anani B'merchav Ka. Ka again is Yud-Kei. So it's very interesting to see that the name of God appears not once in this pasuk, but twice. And in both occasions, it appears with the Yud and the He, which is sort of like a shorter name of God. And we want to know exactly what goes on over here. The call of the shofar goes into the meitzar, into the narrow place. But the response of God is from the merchav ka. For merchav means the widest space. And if you add meitzar and merchav, you get shofar. It's really interesting. However, shofar could be written in two ways. Shofar could be written shin vav pei resh, that's called mole, or it could be written chaser without the vav, and you have a cholam over the shin, that's called shofar without a vav. Now if you calculate the gematria of meitzar and merchav, meitzar is the straits and merchav is the widest spot, you'll end up with shofar, which means Kufresh is 580. Did we get that right? 580. And that's shofar without the vav. However, the shofar itself is a vav. Why is the shofar a vav? Because the shape of the shofar is like that of a vav. It goes up straight and then it curves a little bit on top. And now the call of the shofar is coming from shofar without a vav, plus the vav of the shofar, which is the same number mathematically as what? Meitzar and merchav. Mm-hmm. So we see over and over again that these concepts called meitzar and rochav, merchav, are very crucial. Number one, you have to blow the shofar from the meitzar. If you blow it from the merchav, you're not yotze, you don't fulfill. Number two, the Ari insists that before we blow the shofar, we recite this pasuk, min ha-meitzar karasi ka. And finally, number three, the min ha-meitzar means the word meitzar, together with the word merchav, that forms the same gematria as shofar minus the vav, but we add the vav because the shofar itself is a vav. And we want to understand what is the significance of this halacha on a deeper level, meaning is there a hashkaf, is there some sort of philosophy that we should derive about the nature of this mitzvah, this great mitzvah of shofar, where the kol shofar brings Hashem, so to speak, from the kisei adin to the kisei arachmim. What is it about min ha-meitzah karasi ka, or nani ba-merchav ka, that could possibly reveal something of the secret of the shofar? And furthermore, we want to understand why the name of God is repeated twice in this pasuk. Once at the beginning, min ha-meitzah, and then we say ka, and at the end it says anani ba-merchav ka, and once again the name of God appears as ka. How does that shed a light, perhaps, on the mitzvah and the essence of the tekiah of shofar? We're going to begin our discussion now on page 2, and we're going to learn a piece from the Lublin Rebbe. Have you ever heard of the Chose of Lublin?
Yeah.
Does anybody know what the word Chose means?
Visionary.
Right, the seer.
Yeah.
And does anybody know what vision, what was the number of vision? Was it 2020? What was the vision of the Chose? He was blind. He was blind. And he was called the Chose because he could perceive, he could see things through you without having to look at you. He was blind. He couldn't see. He had a penetrating vision, but not in that sense. He was the seer. And he, in turn, comes up with an idea that another contemporary of his came up with the same idea on his own. Two of the greats. The other great was the Kotzker Rebbe. You've all heard of the Kotzker Rebbe.
Yeah.
And they came up with the following idea. At the end of the Psukei de Zimra, the songs of praise that we recite daily, we recite a paragraph that ends and closes that series. It's called Yishtabach. And in Yishtabach, we say, we describe God as Habocher. Now, there are two words that come after Habocher. Anybody know what those two words are? If you have a siddur, Habocher, Bishirei, Zimra, excellent. Now notice, Shir and Zimra are synonymous words. Now, when Chazal organize and formulate the prayers, the assumption is they don't use a single extra word. Every word in the prayer that they establish has an extra meaning to it. Now, Shir and Zimra are synonymous terms. So why does the bracha end with Shirei Zimra? So both of these greats of the Hasidic giants came up with the same idea. It's unbelievable. You know, a chassid, when he goes to visit the Rebbe, especially at a seuda, you know, it's very common that the Hasidic Rebbe's in their chatzer, they give out something at the end of the meal, and what's that called?
Shirayim.
Excellent. Now, the root of the word shirayim is the same as the root of the word shir. Fascinating. No, shir means a song of praise. Shirayim means the leftovers of something. And according to both of these greats, when we thank Hashem for choosing Shirei Zimra, we refer really to two different things. Shirayim of Zimra, the leftovers from Zimra. So the song of praise is called the Zimra, Miloshen Zemer. And the leftovers are called Shirayim of Zimra. It would make sense that a Hasidic Rebbe would interpret the word Shirei as Shirayim. But what does it mean, the Shirayim of Zimra? This is an amazing concept. A person recites song of praise. I'm going to give you two choices. When he finishes the song of praise, what feeling does he have? What crosses his mind? A or B? Does he feel A? Wow, I praised God. I used every description that you could ever imagine. Pats himself on the back and he says, I did a great job. Or B, does he feel like he's all broken up? Does he realize that no matter how many songs of praise and how many descriptions and how many adjectives he uses to describe God, and he can sing and he can dance and play all the music in the world, he still hasn't scratched the surface? It's B. And that's called Shirei Zimra. What is Shirei Zimra? Shirayim of Zimra. That's the feeling a person should have as he recites Yishtabach. because Yishtabach means that God, nothing I do, nothing I can say could really scratch the surface. I am not an adequate person. I'm mortal, I'm limited, I'm flesh and blood, here today, gone tomorrow. There's nothing I can say to describe you and praise you, God, that even could scratch the surface. So I feel inadequate. And that feeling of inadequacy is described by Yishtabach. Yishtabach means, may his name be praised. I can't be Meshabech Hashem. Yishtabach. It has to happen. I can't do it. I'm not capable. And therefore, I have these feelings of inadequacy. Those feelings are called Shirei Zimra. God not only chooses our Zimra, our songs of praise, but he also chooses, and perhaps even more prominently, the Shirei Zimra, the Shirayim of HaZimra. Those feelings of longing that I wish, God, I was capable of praising you, but I don't have the vessels to do it. However, here we have to introduce why, an answer to the question why God is so excited about the Shirayim of Zimra. And the answer is in the Gemara Kiddushin. And this is the theme of today's Shia today. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, third paragraph on page 2, Machshava Tova Mitzarfa L'maisa, that when a person has good thoughts, God considers it as if he did and he accomplished that which he thought about, meaning you planned and you schemed. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, there were barriers and you were unable to fulfill your goal. So God says, I'm going to be mitzarif, I'm going to consider your machshava, your thought process, as if you engaged in that action. Habalcher v'shirei Zimra, the Shirayim of Zimra, when a person feels that he wishes he had the capacity to sing songs of praise and exhaust, and really do an adequate job, Hashem says, I'm going to consider it as if that's exactly what you do. Therefore, Habocher b'Shirayim shel Zimra. I will choose your Shirayim of Zimra because I'm going to consider it as if with all your desire to sing the praises of God, you in fact did so. You in fact achieved the Shleimut, the perfection of Zimra, of singing praises of God. And when we think about it, this is what Tshuva is all about. What happens? A person sins. Why does a person sin? Who got the best of him? Who tripped him up? It was that no good bum. Who is that bum? The Yetzer Hara. And therefore, he wasn't able to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem as he should have. And he comes with a contrite heart and he says to Almighty God, I only wish I could have fulfilled the mitzvah. There's so many mitzvahs I wanted to fulfill. My heart is broken. I long for the opportunity to fulfill those mitzvahs, but I was deficient. I fell into the trap of the Yetzer Hara, but God, please, take a look at my machshavot and my thoughts. Consider my schemes. Think about where my heart is and where my intention is. And be mitzarif my machshavot to the maisa, as if I had fulfilled those mitzvahs. Again, if he's sincere, we're not talking about a faker. You can't fake God. God is a yodea klayus v'lei, bochen klay. He knows exactly what you're thinking. But if you are absolutely genuine and sincere, and you say to God that I really would have wanted, but I didn't do it, then please consider my machshava, my intention, as if I did the maisa. And this, my friends, is what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Yashav lo avar avera. If a person avoided violating an avera, there were temptations, but he overcame those temptations. Nosin lo schar ka'os a mitzvah. We're going to reward him as if he did a mitzvah. Did he do any mitzvah, my friends? No, he didn't do any mitzvah. He just avoided a lotase, right? There was a tempting, immoral kind of thing, and he overcame his yetzahara. But nevertheless, God says that I consider it as if you did a mitzvah. I'm going to reward you as if you fulfilled a mitzvah, because really that's what you would have wanted to do. That's where your machshava is. That's where your true soul is and your intention. Where is, in Jewish history, the breakthrough? Historically, the epoch that breaks this yesod through and establishes for all time that God considers man's machshava, his intention, as if he did the action. Akedas Yitzchak. Because God says to Avram, you intended to do everything. In fact, Chazal tell us that the Malach had to stop Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, okay, I heard that you don't want me to take the life of my son, but at least give me an opportunity to make a little incision, a little surgical cut, and let me do the mitzvah. Hashem says no. Hashem says, I'm going to give you another opportunity to replace the Akedah. Don't touch Yitzchak. But I'm going to give you this opportunity, and then you'll be considered in my eyes as if you did the mitzvah, as if you went through the Akedah itself. Does anybody know what opportunity God afforded Avraham with? No, nobody's listening to me? You all listening? I don't know if you're listening. Again, God is going to say to Avraham, you didn't go through the Akedah, the Malach told you don't touch him. But God says to him, I'm going to give you an opportunity.
Korban, he gave me the
ayil. The ayil, that's the word I was looking for, Doc. Thank you so much. You saved me because I was getting upset that nobody had the word ayil here. This whole shiur today is about an ayil.
Ram.
The ram. R-A-M, the ram.
I said ram.
Oh, ram? How do you pronounce it?
R-A-M.
Yeah, but how do you pronounce R-A-M?
That's ram.
Ram. Okay, good. I'm more or less the same. I think every Anglo-Saxon says ram more or less the same way. There are nuances of differences. Doesn't matter what country you're from. Right here in the room, we have a representation of how many countries? Any Canadians here? No. Okay, we have three countries here.
Yeah, somebody's born about that time. They call them rams. Rosh Hashanah. That's how I know. That's how I knew the answer.
Very interesting.
My grandson is called ram. Ayal.
Really? Ayal. Very nice. So we have a grandfather of an ayal here because of Rosh Hashanah time. What's the significance of the ayal? My friends, when we asked the question before, about 10 minutes ago, I downgraded the significance of the ayal because how could you compare the ayal to the Akedah itself? Why are we bringing the shofar of the ayal in order to remember the Akedah? We want Hashem to consider as if we did the Akedah. Maybe we should bring the trees or the fire or the mizbeach. I don't know what we should bring. But why the ayal? The ayal is the postscript. It's the aftermath of the Akedah. Nein, you're wrong, Rabbi Berzon. You misunderstood the point. Everything inheres in that ayal, because the yisod, the fundamental breakthrough here of Hashem at the time of the Akedah, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I know that you wanted to go through the Akedah, but you were prevented from doing so. The Malach commanded you, Al tishlach yodcha el anar, v'al taslo ma'uma, don't even touch this lad. But Atoya Datin, I know, says God, Kirelu Kimata, and you were willing to go through with the Akedah. Now it's very interesting. Right after that speech, that presentation of the Malach, the Pasuk describes Vayisa Avramas Eino Vayavine Ayal, etc., etc. He sees in the distance at Ayal, Vayelech Avram, Vayikachas Ayal, Vayaleuli Olatachas Beno. He brings the Ayal, the Torah says, as a replacement for his son. And immediately afterwards, the Malach comes to visit him again. Vayikra Malach Hashem El Avram Sheinis Min Hashemayim a second time. Vayomer Binishpati Nu Hashem Ki Anasher Asisas Adavar Hazeh. It's therefore I will bless you Kechofe Hashemayim Kechol Asher Sfas Hayom. Let's understand these two statements or visitations of the Malach. I don't know if it was the same Malach or a different Malach. I can't tell you that. In the first case, the shlichus of the Malach was just to tell him, Well, it could be that once while Malach finishes his first tafkid, his first shlichut, then he give him immediately a second shlichut. But we're trying to understand, is this a two-fold shlichut? And the naive question that we're asking, why couldn't the Malach say everything to him? Why didn't the Malach in one sentence, in one presentation, he could have said to him, look, don't touch this lad. I know that you were omed in the Nisayon, you would have been more than happy to go through with the Nisayon, that's how you wanted to serve Hashem. And then the Malach could have said to him, take a look at the aisle. Why don't you bring this ram in its place? No. First, the Malach tells him, Al taslo ma'uma. Not only that, how many blessings does the Malach on the first round bestow upon Avram Avinu? Zero. Then Avram brings the Ayal, and then the Malach comes for a second shlichut. Shenit min hashamayim. And he says to him, you know what? Yan asher asita at hadavar. So let's emphasize that word asita, because that's referring to the aisle. Now, Hashem says, in the name of this malach, ki barecha varechecha, now I'm going to bestow the blessing upon you. Why was it necessary to have this sequence of events in which the first shlichus, then Avram takes the aisle, and then the malach comes with the second shlichus, and he bestows the blessing on Avram? And the answer is that Avram Avinu, between the first shlichus and the second, achieves an unbelievable goal when he takes the aisle. He says to God, let me do something. Let me cut a little drop of blood from Yitzchak, and let me have the mitzvah of Avasiyas HaKedah. Hashem says, no, al tishlach yodcha al taslo ma'uma. But then Avram Avinu understands that God has responded to his prayers. He will have an asiyah. He will be able to do something, and that something will be an akedah, will be a replacement for the akedah, will be considered as if he went through the akedah, and that's going to be the bringing of the aisle. Now the akedah is finished. Why is the akedah finished? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you know what? I'm going to give you this wonderful opportunity of asisa, of asiya, of bringing the aisle. Why? Because I know where your machshava is. I understand that you were willing and you intended with all your soul and all your heart to go through with the akedah. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do the akedah. And now the aisle represents a major concept that Hashem says, Asisa sadover azeh. What does it mean, asisa sadover azeh? You went through the akedah. What do you mean you went through the akedah? Avram didn't go through the akedah. He never underwent the akedah. He never actually shechted Yitzchak. He wasn't even allowed to make a little incision in Yitzchak. But the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amitzarif machshava l'maisa. I consider your thought and your intention as if you did it. And now to make you happy, I'm going to give you an actual asiya. And that asiya of the aisle is going to be the replacement for the Akedah itself. And now we're up to page 3. We begin to appreciate the fact that Chazal say that the Akedah took place on what calendar date in the year? Chazal say in the Medrash it took place on Rosh Hashanah. What were the prayers of Avram Avinu on that very dramatic Rosh Hashanah, that crucial Rosh Hashanah? He was praying to Hashem that give my children, my descendants, every Rosh Hashanah, the opportunity to remind you of Akedas Yitzchak. Give them a mitzvah of shofar, and the shofar of Ayil will achieve the goal that Avram wanted to achieve on behalf of his descendants on the Day of Judgment, on Rosh Hashanah. And how is that so? So in order to appreciate this, we have to read a drasha, or at least part of the drasha, based on a psikta that you'll see on page 2 on the right column. After the Akedah, Avram gives the place a name. Vayikra Avram Eshem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yira'eh Asher Yomar Hayom Bahar Hashem Yira'eh.
Page 3.
And I want you to underline 3 words in this pasuk, which appears at the end of the Akedah, at the end of Parashas Vayera. Asher Yomar Hayom. Do you see those 3 words?
Yeah.
Underline those 3 words. The Psikta says the following. What was the message of Avram in this declaration? Asher Yomar Hayom. Hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Omar lo, Avram turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, Galui lefanecha, shayoli mala shivcha. When you told me to bring my son Yitzchak on the Akedah, I could have given you a push off, an answer. I could have said to you, after all, God, you told me, you promised me, Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'cha Zora. And now you're telling me to shecht him? You told me, you promised me that Yitzchak would be the next link in many, many generations to come. And now you tell me to shecht him? Lo eshavti oscha. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't come forward with any arguments. I made myself as if I was a cheresh, as if I was dead. I had no ears, no mind. Kishiyu bonav shel Yitzchak nidonim lefanecha biyom hazeh. I know that down the line, my son's offspring will be judged on this day, and there'll be many prosecutors who will come forth, and they will start saying, "Look what the children of Israel are guilty of." But kishem shedamanti v'lo yishavticha. God, I beg you, just like I was quiet, I was silent, I had a good argument against you, accountant. You too, kachatolo toshiv lehem. Don't even respond to the arguments of the prosecutors. Don't pay any attention. Ignore it. And then says the psik of Vayikra Avram Hashem Hamakom Ahu Hashem Yirae Asher Yomar Hayom. Mao Hayom. Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. I've accepted your request and your supplication. And Binishpati Niyum Hashem, God even strengthens his commitment with an oath. Immediately after this, Asher Yomar Hayom, we find that Avram Avinu Vayisas Enov Vayar Vine Ayel Achar Nechaz Basfach Bekanov. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God turns to him and says, Re'eim Alefanecha. What you see here is an ayal that's all tangled in the brush. And that's a symbol of the fact that the people of Israel are all tangled up. And they're in sin, and they're in a complicated situation. However, Avram says, Asher Yomar Hayom. Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. God, please remember the Akedah. But more than that, what I need is that you remember the aisle of the Akedah. Because that's Asher Yomar Hayom. It means Akedah Yitzchak should be remembered today on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Because Malal of Akosuv, it's considered as if Avram went through the Akedah, as if Yitzchak Avinu himself went through the Akedah. Avram Avinu's prayers to God is that on every Rosh Hashanah, on every day of judgment, annually, when the people of Israel will be awakened to do tshuva, and they want to fix up all their mitzvahs because they realize they didn't fulfill those mitzvahs the way they should have. And who amongst us can say, well, I did the mitzvahs the way that I should have done it, I reached my capacity? Is Yitzarif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machshav V'Tov L'Maisa. On this day of Rosh Hashanah, we declare, like the aisle, God, accept our Machshav V'Tov as if it was an action. That's what we intended. That's where our hearts are. Accept the Tekiyah Shofar of the Shofar Shal Aisle. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Tiku lefanai b'shofar shel ayil, blow the shofar shel ayil on Rosh Hashanah, kidei she'ezkar lachem HaKadosh Yitzchak ben Avram. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. It's a day in which we are called upon to give a cheshben ha-nefesh, calculation. It's the ledger that's going to be opened up in front of the heavenly courts. And God is sitting on a kisei adin. But now we begin to engage, each and every one of us, in an introspection and a cheshbon and din. And at that point we reveal to Hashem that we were lacking, we were deficient, we confess that, we recite vidui. However, we're full of tzar, we're full of disappointment. We desire and crave with every ounce of energy, every part of our heart, I wish, if only I could fulfill your will and serve you correctly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, blow a shofar shel ayil. Kidei she'ezkar lachem es HaKadosh Yitzchak. Even though Yitzchak was not slaughtered, but nevertheless Avram Avinu brings the ayil, tachas b'no, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to consider it as if you actually went through the Akedah. And now Avram Avinu, in that experience, in that episode, is blazing a new trail, that Machshava Tova is considered like a Maisa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bocher B'Shirei Zimra, B'Shirayim Shel Zimra, when we regret the fact that we're inadequate and we couldn't fulfill the song of praise. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if we sang those songs of praise. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers our machshava kemaisa, that's the essence of our prayer on Rosh Hashanah. That's what we turn to Hashem with the supplication. We regret our inabilities, our deficiencies, our faults. And we are so upset about those missed opportunities. Please consider it as if we fulfilled those mitzvahs. And Hashem commands us to blow the shofar shel ayil. What is inherent in the blowing of the shofar shel ayil? The tkiah of the shofar shel ayil is a sound of prayer without dibur. It's just pure kol. Kol means a sound, but there's no speech. What does it mean to emit a sound and not say the words? It's all in the brain. It's all in the machshava. That's what shofar is all about. Shofar is a statement, a prayer to the Almighty God. Look into our minds. Look what we thought about. We aren't speaking anything, but it's all in our minds. This is our dedication to you, God, our service to you, and consider our machshava to be shlema, to be absolutely perfect. And the Gemara says in Brachas, Rav Alexandroi, Basa de Matzli Omer Hochi, at the end of his tefillah, he would always turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Goli lufanecha, sheritzoni lasos ritzonecha, I really have a true desire to fulfill your will, God. But there are various ma'akvim, there are barriers that prevented me from doing so. And now, God hears the shofar. And when he hears the cold shofar, that reminds us of the yisod, the fundamental principle that Avraham Avinu established at the time of the Akedah, that God considers the machshav as if you did the maisa. At this point, God gets up from the kisei adin and he sits on the kisei harachamim. What is the rachamim of Rosh Hashanah? What is the divine compassion inherent in Rosh Hashanah? It's the fact that God looks at our machshava, that he considers that we really wanted to and that we crave to fulfill his will. Ritzoneinu lasus ritzonecha. And when we take the shofar and we blow the shofar, Mazkirim Akedas Yitzchak, it means the Hakrovas Ha'ayil, because Hakrovas Ha'ayil means that God says, in my divine compassion, I am going to consider it as if you went through the Akedah, as if you did the mitzvah. Is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes full of compassion, of rachamim, and he converts and transforms the mid of din into the mid of rachamim. Now let's get back to the Arizal. What pasuk does the Arizal advocate that we should recite before the shofar? Min ha-meitzar karasi ka, anani ba-merchav ka. Tkiyas shofar is a sound without speech. Where does it come from, that sound? It comes min ha-meitzar, from a place that's very narrow. We are expressing our meitzar, our suffering, our anguish, our disappointment in ourselves. How did we do this? Why did we miss opportunities? What were the barriers and we weren't able to overcome that, and therefore our mitzvahs were not perfect? They were not ideal, far from it. And the call of the shofar that comes from a meitzar, a place in which the Jew feels broken, self-accusing and self-degradation. And it goes to a makom rachav. It goes to a very broad span, a very broad area. And this remez is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to broaden our meitzar. He's going to look at our machshava. He's going to look at our meitzar, our straits, our difficulties, our disappointment in ourselves, and we're beating ourselves down because we realize that we were deficient, and God says, I will take that meitzar and I will broaden it. I will make it into something rachav. Min ha-meitzar karasi ka, anani ba-merchav ka. The merchav comes to replace the meitzar, the response to the meitzar, to that cry out to Hashem out of anguish, out of disappointment, out of self-flagellation. is going to be Merchav, Anani ba Merchav ka. I cry out from a Mokum Tsar, and I cry out to Hashem that I didn't serve you, I didn't fulfill your will in the proper way, and I have a desire and a craving to do so. And the answer of Hashem, his response is, Anani b'merchav ka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in my divine compassion, I will consider your thoughts and your desires, your intention. Ki'ilu ki'amtem es ha-mitzvahs. As if you fulfill the mitzvahs. And how? What kind of mitzvahs? B'tachlis ha-shlemus. In the ideal, perfect way. That's what's inherent in the message of the shofar shel ayil, the tkiya that goes min ha-meitzar to the rachav. And now we're on page 4. Perhaps we can begin to understand why David HaMelech repeats the name of God Yud-Kei twice. Min ha-meitzar karasi ka anani ba-merchav ka. The Gemara tells us at the beginning of Masechet Brachos on a pasuk that appears at the end of Tanakh, Oz nidbru yirei Hashem yishal re'eyu v'akshev Hashem v'yishma v'yichtov sefer hazikaron lefonov liyirei Hashem l'chosh v'yishmo. So the Gemara asks, my l'chosh v'yishmo? We don't know what that phrase means. Amar Rav Ashi, chosh v'yishmo machshav, it means an intention. Chashav odom lasos mitzvah v'nenas v'lo asa'ah. A person planned to fulfill a mitzvah, but mitigating circumstances before behind his control prevent him from doing so. Malol of akosav kilo asa'a. God considers as if he did it, as if he fulfilled it. And now let's try to understand the repetition of the name Yud Kei twice. But in order to understand the repetition of the name Yud Kei, we first have to talk about the meaning of Havaya. Havaya has a Yud Hey and a Vav Hey in it. And for this, we're going to rely on the insights of the Bnei Yisoschar, the great Galician Rebbe of about 100 years ago, 120 years ago. And he says that Yisrael Advekim Bashem Yud Ke Vav Ke, Havaya, Baruch Hu. Atem Advekim Bashem Elokechem. Bashem is Yud Ke Vav Ke. Let us take these four letters and divide them into two camps, into two groups. What we have on the one end is the Yud Hey, just 1 second. Vehine Bashem Avaya Baruch Hu, oh, Baruch Hu threw me off here. Osios Vav Hey and Osios Yud Hey. What's the difference between the Yud Hey and the Vav Hey? Says the Bnei Yisoschar, the Yud Hey represents Machshava. And the Vav Hey represents Maisa. So there's thought and there's action. When Klal Yisrael Dovek, they're totally attached to Yud Kei Vav Kei, then they have both the Machshava, which is represented by Yud Kei, and the Maisa, which is represented by Vav Kei.
Why would he say that? Why would Vav Kei give you this?
Right. I think, I'm pretty sure he's going to discuss this. I don't remember. This is really... What I'm doing now is I'm ad-libbing. Until this point, I prepared it, but like somebody told me yesterday that I have to give this, whatever, it doesn't matter. So we have the following. Let's go over this. We have the Yud Kei is serving Hashem b'machshava. We have the Vav Kei is serving Hashem through Maisa, through action. This comes from a Zohar on a Pasuk in Parshas Vaschan, and it says, Ushmartem ve'asisem ki hichach maschem u'binaschem. And the Zohar says, Ushmartem ve'asisem is referring to Vav Hey. Ve'asisem means action. But it also says at the beginning of the pasuk, ki hichach maschem, and that, says the Zohar, is identified with Yud Hey, which is machshava, chachma, is machshava. Now, we have certain parts of the body which are called kliya maisa that we use for action when we implement the mitzvah. They represent vavke. But we also have kli machshava, the possibility of comprehending and understanding something intellectually in our minds. That's called chachma. and that corresponds to Yud K. Now, I don't know how many of you recite the L'shem Yichud before a mitzvah. I'm not telling you have to do that. But for those of you who do that, it says, L'yached Shem Yudke Bivavke B'Yichuda Sholem, to integrate Yudke with Vavke into some sort of magical, indivisible oneness or unity. The answer is that when a person is about to perform a mitzvah, he tries as much as he can to integrate both the machshava, his feeling, his fervor, his intention, his simcha, together with the maisa. So it's the yud kei of the machshava together with the vav kei, which is connected to maisa. And we ask that Hashem allow us liyachid shem yud kei, comes first, and then vav kei, to integrate machshava, because until there's machshava, there's nothing happening. Machshava is the kickoff. And then we have the Vavke, which is Maisa. And a perfect Jew is a Jew who integrates both Machshava and Maisa. Okay. Now the Bnei Yisoschar says, as we saw before, that Klal Yisrael Adovek in Yudke Vavke, Atem Advekim Bi Yudke Vavke, and therefore we integrate the Machshava with the Maisa. We integrate the Yudhe together with the Vavke. That means Dveikim Bashem. So we have both Machshava, which is indicated by the letters Yudke, and we have the letters Vavke, which indicate the Maisa. Now the question comes to the fore. What's the proof here that Machshava Tova, Kodesh Baruch Hu Metzarif L'Maisa, after all, we're talking about Dveikus and Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means both in the Machshava and the Maisa. So we're talking about a Jew who performs a mitzvah in the actuality, and he does so with an integration of Machshava and Maisa. But how does that prove anything about Machshava alone? That Machshava with Yud Kei without the Vav Kei is to be considered as if he did a Maisa. Now, you can't derive that from the Atem Edvekim Hashem Elokeichem. Do you remember that Rav Ashi in the Gemara Brachos, after the Gemara derives the L'choshvei Shmo, that we're talking about Choshev Adam Lassos Mitzvah, Nenas V'lo Asa, Malov HaKosv Kilu Asa. But what does that have to do with Atem Edvekim Hashem Elokeichem? And we're talking about a dveikus in Yud Kei and Vav Kei. Yud Kei and Vav Kei means an integration of Machshava and Maisa when a person performs a mitzvah. In order to answer this question, we're going to take a look at a paragraph, or at least one verse, in Eliezer HaKalir. He was the great Paiton. And in one of his piyutim, he writes, Shein yikra kiksi vaso, mechetzio tismale te vaso. In other words, the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is written, but we cannot recite it, we can't enunciate Yud Kei Vav Kei, but Liyasid Yat Lavo, at the end of time, then we'll be able to read the name of God as it's written. Now we can only say Hashem, which means Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But what does Rabbi Elazar HaKalir mean when he says, Michetzio Tismale Tevaso? Tevaso means a word, and Michetzio, from half of that word, we will have the whole word. What does that mean? Yud Kei is going to lead us to Vav Kei. In other words, it's Chetzio. We're really only at the level of Yud Kei. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you identify and dedicate yourself to Yud Kei, then you'll give you the Tismale Tevaso, the name of God will be complete, will give you, grant you the Vavke as well, which is the Maisa. Why? Because you began on your own initiative with the Yudke, with dedicating yourself to Machshava. And over again you've expressed the fact that you have a tremendous desire to fulfill my will. So God says, you know what? I'm going to consider it as if the name of God was Molech. I'm going to consider it as if there was a Vavke, as if there was action. I'm going to be Metzarif Machshava LeMaisa. a person wanted to do a mitzvah, he had his full heart in it, he planned and he schemed, it was all in his machshava, it was yudkei, but at the end of the day he wasn't able to materialize his intention. And Hashem says tismale tevasa, that the name of God, the vavkei, will be added to the yudkei as if you had done the action. And we now begin to understand why the Dveikus in Yudkei Vavkei leads to Rav Ashi's statement that Kosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif Machshava K'Maisa. Why? Because the Dveikus to Yudkei Vavkei, Atem Advikim Bashem Elokeichem, means that we really want to do everything that we have in our power to reach the level of Vavkei, of the action. We don't want to remain in the level of Yudkei with Machshava. But unfortunately, says Rav Ashi, in certain situations beyond our control, we were prevented from doing so. We couldn't implement our machshava to do a maisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You're called Choshvei Shmo, and I will consider it as if you did the maisa. And if that be the case, we have to fast forward a little bit. We're going to take a look at the pasuk. Min ha-meitzar karasi ka, noni va-merchav ka. So what I'm asking you is to fast forward to the last column, the third column on page 4. And we're going to look at the paragraph that starts Me'ata. The Arizal says that when we hear the Kol Shofar, we should have in mind the Tzad HaTzar, right? Minametza means from the Tzara, from the straits. And we should have in mind Limbakom Racham, that from that very cramped and dangerous small place, we're going to come out to Baruch Hashem, to Merch. What's the purpose of the Tekiyah? The ultimate goal of the Tekiyah is that Hashem hears our cry min ha-meitzar, how much we are disappointed in ourselves that we fell shy, we fell short of fulfilling His mitzvahs. We have a tremendous Chuka, a desire and a craving in a machshava, halavai, if only we can fulfill the mitzvah the way it should be. That hishtokakus, that expression of our desire to fulfill God's mitzvahs, is called min ha-meitzar karasi ka. That is the machshava of Yud Kei. When we say to God, our machshava, our intention, our heart was in the right place, we really wanted to dedicate ourselves exclusively to your mitzvahs and to fulfill your will. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Metzareif Machshava Kemaisa. All this is alluded to, is hinted, or symbolized by the call that comes from the shofar, because which side of the shofar is it coming from? The Metzar. It's coming from the Metzar. And if we cry out Min HaMetzar, then the Pasuk promises us Anani b'merchav ka. B'merchav means a complete. You had the machshava, you had the yud kei, but we're missing the vav kei. So God says Anani b'merchav. I'm going to take your yud kei and I'm going to be Anani b'merchav. I'm going to widen it. I'm going to complete it and add the vav kei. Therefore, the pasuk repeats the name yud kei twice. The first yud kei is the Yud Kei of Min HaMeitzar, of our crying out to Hashem, saying how upset we are, what anguish we're experiencing on a spiritual level because we realize we fell short and we didn't fulfill the mitzvahs. The second Yud Kei at the end of the pasuk is God's response. And God says, you know what? You started with the Yud Kei, I'm going to consider your Yud Kei, your machshavas, if you completed the maisas, if you did the Vav Kei as well. That's the idea of b'mercha. B'mercha means I'm going to complete it for you. It's now in a small, narrow straits, and now I'm going to broaden it. And I'm going to expand it, like we saw in HaKalir, mechetzio tismale tevaso. It's there for the Medrash says, v'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Yoshev v'ola al kisei din. B'din hu ola. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. God climbs, so to speak. He takes his place on the Kisei Adin, and that's pure, unadulterated din. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. And now we blow the shofar. What happens when we blow the shofar? We start by blowing with the Makom Tzar, Min HaMeitzar. and we're crying out to Hashem out of anguish, disappointed as it were in ourselves. And Karasi Ka Hashem, all I have to offer you is the name Yud Kei, the truncated Yud Kei Vav Kei, the two letters that represent and symbolize Machshava Kemaisa, my thought. That's what Yud Kei is. And then I'm going to recite the end of the pasuk. Not even Merchav Yah. I'm going to ask Hashem to please Merchav, to broaden the name of Hashem, to take the Yud Kei Vav Kei and expand it to a full name of God, the Vav Kei, as if I had done the Maisa. And at that moment when we blow the shofar and we convey in that kol below dibur that we want to be dovek in Yud Kei Vav Kei and our Maisim should be ideal and perfect and complete, but we didn't do so because of the failings, because of our limitations before, because of the barriers put in front of us by the forces of evil, God, I ask you please, would you add an element of compassion to your judgment? Would you consider my machshava as a maisa? And Hashem says, "Anani b'merchav ka." I am now moving from the kisei adin, and I'm going to sit on the kisei rachmim. And why and how? Because of your kol shofar min hametzar. And now I'm going to say, "Anani b'merchav ka." I'm going to declare that I will judge you b'merchav, meaning as if you had done the maisa, as if the name of Hashem was complete, and the Yud Kei was a complete name. Umismali aleim rachamim, umrachim aleim, ahofech aleim, midas adin l'rachamim. May that be our success on this Rosh Hashanah. Ken yiratzon. Amen. Thank you so much. Correct, but Hashem is saying b'merchav yud kei. B'merchav means tismale yud kei. Right? That's what he got from Elezer HaKalir, that Hashem promises to be mamale the shame of yud kei and consider it as if there was a vav kei as well, because he's mitzarif machshava kemaisa.